Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It's so very cool of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a pathfinding coach, speaker, writer, nonconformist, and an entrepreneur. My guest is the co-host of Wild and Crazy Meaningful Life podcast. She offers pathfinding and peaceful productivity courses and has given inspirational talks at many events, including World Domination Summit and App Camp for Girls. She has a degree in logic and computation and had her dream job as an artificial intelligence programmer until she decided to follow her heart and help others. Now, let's hack Pace Smith. Today's episode is brought to you by the incorporation experts at BizFilings. For a job done right, you've got to go to the experts. And when it comes to incorporation, that means bizfilings.com. There, the process is clearly laid out for you with step-by-step guidance from on-demand professionals. Incorporation can bring you savings, protections, and growth, so you don't want to do it with just any old website. BizFilings has been at it for nearly 20 years, founded by entrepreneurs who set out to create the kind of experience they'd want if they had to do it all over again. Straightforward information, clarifying tools, and instant access to experts via email, phone, or chat. You may not have incorporation all figured out just yet, but a quick visit to BizFilings is a step in the right direction. Go to bizfilings.com/start for a free guide to get a clear line of sight into your incorporation. That's bizfilings.com/start. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very, very special guest. I've been wanting to speak to you for a long time, Pace, and I thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Johnny.
I think it's going to be fun.
I am already having fun. Happy.
All right, let's do this. Pace.
Yo.
As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think it's really not a very sexy answer. I think the answer is persist, just not give up. So many of the other entrepreneurs that I know got really excited and they were learning all the stuff and taking all the classes and writing all of the sales pages and doing all the stuff. And then I don't know what happened to them, but I don't see them around anymore. I've been around since 2007. And that's like Stone Age and internet years.
Since 1997?
No, 2000.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, did I hear that right?
No, internet in 1997? 97's prehistoric. I'm just, you know, Bronze Age, I guess. But yeah, so, you know, about 8 years. And I've had time to make plenty of mistakes along the way. But there's also this kind of snowball effect, even though I did some pretty major course corrections as I learned what not to do, I still had a bit of a snowball effect by just the people that I met and the things that I learned. It all really added up. And so I think that the one thing I don't see other entrepreneurs do enough of is stick with it.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. So persistence, and you said something interesting in there that there was all these other people sort of around the same time, maybe entrepreneurs, and they were just learning all the stuff, but then They never sort of followed through. Do you think that it's necessary to learn all the stuff, or can you even learn all of the stuff?
I think that learning is useless. And
Fair enough.
Obviously, that's a bit of an overstated case, but I've seen so many other entrepreneurs get stuck in the trap of coming up with really great business plans and talking it over with their mastermind groups and listening to a whole bunch of really great podcasts, but then not actually taking action. And you will learn so much more from doing something stupid or imperfect than from trying to create a really great plan that only exists in your head. I think the biggest mistake I made when I was first getting started was trying to do it right the first time and investing a lot of, like, you know, money in a fancy schmancy website and investing a lot of time into, like, crafting the perfect details of my business plan when I ended up not even doing that business, like, a year later. I needed to just get out there and get my hands dirty. And, like, I learned so much more from actually doing than from thinking, that I feel like overstating the case and saying that thinking is useless is probably the side to err on.
Yeah. I mean, action totally trumps learning at any point. I mean, there are things you're going to have to learn. Like, when you want to put up your first website, if you don't have money to pay somebody, you got to, but to me, that's when, okay, now let's Google how to put up a WordPress site. Let's figure that out. Like, why are you figuring that out a year before you'll ever need that? Or how do I do this now? It's like, well, figure that out as you need it, but don't just get bogged down.
Yeah, bootstrap. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And that whole just-in-time learning thing. Like, don't be so bogged down with, I got to learn everything. It's like, no, learn the thing as you need to. Like, tomorrow I have to do this. Okay, well, tonight, Google it. Figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
But you don't need to know what to do 6 months from now, because it's probably going to be completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to predict the future that far out, 6 months is forever.
It is. It really is. It's like, I have no idea what I'll be doing. I wish I knew what I was going to be doing. Actually, no, I don't. That'd be boring. I don't wish I knew what I was doing. Who am I kidding, right? All right, Pace. So you've been online since 2007.
Yeah.
This is cool. So I don't know if we have to go back before that or not, but there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life, in this whole journey thing, right? Where we realize one of two things. Either you have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or you simply find you cannot work for somebody else. Pace, could you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when it was you discovered this about yourself?
It was a little from column A and a little from column B, but if that is going to be really uncomfortable to straddle that fence, then I'd have to fall on the calling side.
I love uncomfortable.
And the way that it happened for me, it was right around 2007, and it was when I gave a presentation about communication and relationships to a group of people who were all hanging out for a weekend camping event where everybody was asked to volunteer to give a presentation on something that they knew about. And I'm like, all right, well, I talk a lot in my relationship, so I guess I know a few things about, like, you know, how to communicate effectively and, you know, not just be resentful or fight all the time. And so I just kind of whipped something together on the back of the envelope. And my wife, Kylie, and I gave this presentation. And I was changed forever. Just the feeling of actually directly helping people and having people come up to me afterwards and say, this stuff that you taught is amazing. And two people even came up the next day and said, I put what you taught into practice and it helped me in my relationship today. And I was just like, this feels so good. I want this all the time. What do I need to do for my heart to feel like this all the time? And that was when I was really hooked. And that made me kind of unemployable in a sense. But it wasn't really that, you know, fed up working for the man sense as much as it was really needing to listen to my heart.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you get this feeling, and then what do I need to do to get this feeling all the time? And then what did you do next? Like, how does the journey sort of unfold? Were you just like literally, what do I do? Or did you kind of think, oh, maybe if I could do this and do this? You probably weren't getting paid to speak at this point, or were you? Because that's impressive if you were.
Well, that was the first thing that I thought of. And I put together some little evening workshops on communication and relationships and found some little organizations that were local where I could actually show up and have people pay money and give a workshop. So I didn't really understand business at the time. So we were charging like $20 a night. And so it was like nothing near sustainable, but I wasn't even thinking about that at the time. I was just like, I'm getting paid to do something that I love and it's amazing. So I came up with this, you know, ridiculous plan of like, I'm going to travel across the country and give workshops all over the place. And that's when I started learning about business and figuring out that just because you have something awesome doesn't mean that people know about it or care. And that's when I did have to actually start learning a little bit, just in time learning, so that I could find the people to teach this stuff to. And one of the first things I found is that people didn't care about communication. people cared about relationships. And so that was my first lesson in features versus benefits. It's like, instead of saying, here's the way that you're communicating poorly, I had to phrase it as, here's why others don't understand you.
I love it. And then at some point you realize that the road trips across America endlessly, giving workshops for $20, you realize that it was probably easier to just take it online. Is that how it worked?
Yeah. I didn't actually, luckily I realized that before actually engaging on all of the traveling.
Road trips are so fun though.
It's true. And later on, like 3 years ago, we ended up selling 95% of our stuff and living in an RV full time for like 8 months.
That's awesome.
It was totally awesome. It's one of the really cool things that you can do with an internet-based business. But yeah, so, you know, I figured out the business model and like, all right, we just got to take this online. And then it was a whole big process of experimentation and teaching different things, throwing it to the wall and see what stuck. And, you know, now I don't teach relationships and communication at all unless it comes up in my coaching practice. But yeah, it's a whole bunch of just like pivoting and experimenting and figuring out what really worked. And it was all of that just-in-time learning.
Nice.
I really like that phrase.
I stole it from somewhere, so it's okay.
I like it. Yeah, steal like an artist, steal like an entrepreneur, right?
Exactly. All right, Pace, we're going to move to work. So now you work online full-time. You do a lot of things, obviously. You have a new book out. You have two podcasts. You coach people. You speak. And you just do a lot of stuff. It's impressive. So every expert now, right? Every blog post we read talks about 80-20.
Yeah.
Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at. Delegate the rest. Pace, within your business, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at?
Logistics, like calendaring, scheduling. When I look at a calendar, I feel constrained. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so busy. I don't have time to do all of the things. And so that was the first thing to outsource. Like the second thing was bookkeeping and accounting. Like that's usually the first thing for most people.
Yeah.
But for me, it was scheduling. There was a point where I had a coaching group of four people and one of them was in New Zealand and I was trying to coordinate all the time zones to find a time when we could all meet as a group. And it was so hard that I realized that the reason that I was not seeking out more clients was because I didn't want to coordinate across time zones. And when I realized that, it became really clear that what I needed to do was to outsource that stat.
Wow. And like, so do you have like a virtual assistant or how do you outsource calendar, your scheduling?
Yeah, I had a virtual assistant.
Nice.
And I just shared my calendar and said, these are the times that I'm available. Email everyone and make it work. And it was great.
Nice. Are you a good manager?
No, I'm horrible. In fact, like this is another trap that I fell into is that what I saw among all of my entrepreneur peers is that they all went through these like phases of growth where it's like, all right, so you're an entrepreneur. That means you need to grow your business and you grow it from being self-employed to being a manager of a small team of like independent contractors, virtual assistants, and then you get your first employee. And that's a really great day. And then you grow to like a small business, not just a micro business, and you have payroll. And then you spend most of your time managing. I'm like, this is horrible. You know, like I want to bake pies. I don't want to manage a pie shop. And, you know, I know that that's like the biggest thing that stops entrepreneurs from succeeding is being unwilling to actually do the businessy stuff. I'm not unwilling, but it's not where my heart is. And so I purposely try to keep a small team so that I don't have to spend a whole lot of my time managing. I try to avoid the trap of abdicate instead of delegate. I try to actually be a manager and not just wave my hand and say, make magic happen, because that's a mistake I've made in the past and it's horrible. But yeah, I like to stay small so that I can spend most of my time doing what I love, which is talking, teaching, and having conversations like this one with you, and hosting my own podcast, and most of all, coaching. That's what I really love. And so if I can, you know, 80-20 away the stuff that I am really not that good at and that I don't love, then I want to be able to spend close to 80% of my time doing what I actually love. I'm not there yet. I'm at about 40 to 50% of my time is really in my wheelhouse, doing stuff that I'm really good at and that I love. And the rest is, you know, fiddly bits and email and all of the stuff that needs to be done to keep a business running. But I'm really happy with almost half.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's compared to, I love the self-awareness of it, where you seem to really have a good grasp on, well, what it is you want out of your business. You're not going to let it just take over your life. And then also what it is you're not good at and what you are good at.
Entrepreneurship is, whether you want it or not, a crash course in self-awareness.
Most people don't want that, though. Most people don't want to be self-aware. And so maybe they're in the wrong business. I don't know.
I feel really lucky because I am a coach. And so I'm basically eating my own dog food here, where it's like I'm learning what I need to teach. And every time I have some, you know, crisis of learning about myself, it's like, hey, this will make a great blog post.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, gotta laugh so you don't cry, right?
fair enough. Okay, Pace, let's move on to projects. So just a loose term. So you have a new book out, you have two podcasts, you have courses out that seem to run at certain times of year.
Yep.
Many different things. As your business grows, obviously more opportunities come across your email inbox, your desk, whatever you want to call it. I would love to know the thought process that you go through right now. An idea comes across your desk or something that you think you should put your time, resources, and effort into. And I want to know sort of the thought process of when you decide that this is something you should actually do.
So I basically feed my brain and then ask my heart. After trying a lot of different ways of deciding this and switching it around at different points in my business, the process that I've found that works the best is, number one, feed my brain. And that means like do the due diligence and say like, what's the expected return on investment? Is this opportunity coming from a reputable source that I trust? You know, if it's coming from me, then am I just getting caught up in the hype? Or, you know, again, with that pesky self-awareness, is this actually a thing that I can really commit to? Or do I want to just like test it first? Again, with the bootstrapping, a lot of times when it feels like I need to make a decision, I can do a test instead. And that is like, so if I can avoid making a decision and actually get data, that's usually the smarter choice. So all of that is part of feeding my head. It's like looking at the pros and cons. And then when I'm done feeding my head, I follow my heart. I do remembrance, which is my spiritual practice. And I let go of my fear about making enough money. I let go of my fear of letting people down. I let go of my fear of what other people are going to think of me. And when I let go of all of that, I can just feel in my heart whether it feels right, whether it feels like it's on my path, whether I feel like it's really going to be of service, whether I feel like it's going to be in the highest good. And so that's how I end up making all my big business decisions. I used to go all brain. I've also tried going all heart and ignoring my brain. Neither of those worked well. So I like putting my heart in the CEO position of my business, but making my brain the COO to, you know, take care of all the operations.
I think that might be brilliant.
It works really well for me.
That's awesome. And so I need to know, I've never thought of it as following my heart. I've always thought of it, like, at least personally, is that I follow my gut. Mm-hmm. But is there a difference? Is that the same thing? Or is, like, it's an internal, your body's telling you to do something, right? Is that what you mean?
That is different. It is similar, but it's different. So what I'm talking about is heart compass, and what you're talking about is body compass. And it makes me curious about your Enneagram type, because I'm a heart type, and I would guess that you might be a gut type. But yeah, it's both of those, following your gut and following your heart, both of those are more connected to guidance than our brains. Our brains are just like, you know, problem-solving machines that when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When you think with your problem-solving machine, everything looks like a problem. And so, you know, trying to make expansive decisions with a problem-solving machine is the wrong way to go. So, you know, even though there is kind of a subtle difference between going with your gut and what feels right in your body versus, you know, me following my heart and going with what feels right in my heart, both of them are so much better than just trying to make brain decisions that it's really just quibbling over details.
I'm wondering, is it harder? So you decide to go into something, you started with your brain, then you went to your heart. Does that make it harder to realize that this direction that you've decided to go is possibly wrong and just it has to change now?
No, it did the first couple of times. But the metaphor that I use for my life and in my coaching practice is pathfinding. And it's like, according to, like, imagine you're following a GPS and you know that your destination is due east. And the GPS is like, turn left and go north. You might be like, what the hell? You know, like, I just want to go east. But little do you know, there's like a giant mountain range there or a canyon, or you have to go up to find the bridge. And so, like, paths, in terms of like life paths and work paths and career paths, they don't take the most direct route. Like, nobody ever gets to where they're going as the crow flies. There's always all of these twists and turns. Mm-hmm. And so, as soon as I, you know, comes back to letting go again, as soon as I let go of my desire to make direct progress quickly, then all I need to do is check in with my heart and ask, how about now? You know, what's the right way to go now? And if it says, all right, now you can go east, then I go back east.
I love it. All right, Pace, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on something I'm toying with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which I think that your self-awareness is going to make this really interesting. But so the thought is that as entrepreneurs, we're always pushing ahead, right? We're always setting goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, down the line. When I get there in 6 months, when my book comes out in 6 months, I'll be successful. When I do this, I'll be successful. Mm-hmm. Before we even hit those goals, we set bigger, loftier ones into the future. And we oftentimes fail to stop and turn around, look at what it is we've done, what we've accomplished, what we've learned, and sort of reflect on it. So I would love right now, Pace, you started in 2007, so like 8 years ago, and you wanted to know what you needed to do to feel this all the time. And it seems like you've really set up your life and your business to do just that. So I would love if you would stop now, turn around and look back to 2007 and beyond, if you wish. and think of all the things you've learned, all the things you've done, and tell me how you feel about where you are today.
Yeah, such a good question. I feel like the most important thing that I have learned and changed in that time is to stop looking ahead to future success. I have had those plans. I've had those goals, those 1 year, 3 year, 5 year goals. When I do this, I'll finally be successful. I've had those all along. And focusing on those goals has made me miss enjoying the journey. I sold all my stuff and moved into an RV and like lived all across the country. And I was constantly worrying about growing my business. And I feel like I kind of missed out. And all of these amazing experiences that I've had as an entrepreneur, I have always been looking forward into the future. And looking backward into the past is better because then I'm feeling gratitude and appreciation for what I've got and these opportunities that I'm experiencing. But just being in the present is by far the best of the three options, past, future, and present. Like right now, right here, I am having a really great conversation with you, Johnny. I am blessed to have the opportunity to share it with you who's listening. And I'm just really, I feel alive. I feel radiant. I feel grateful. I feel peaceful. And I feel just really, really lucky. And if I can remember to feel that every day, then that's what really feels like success to me as an entrepreneur. It's all been a journey of learning that success doesn't live in the future. It lives in the present. Success lives in my heart.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. And I want to emphasize that lucky part because this conversation was awesome. And it's amazing that we get to do it, yet it's not just because of the two of us. It's really, we are lucky. Like if we had been born 10 years earlier, this technology wouldn't have existed. The internet in this way wouldn't have, all these things that we really are, as much as we want to take credit for all of it, I do, but I can't. I'm lucky. Like if I was born 10 years earlier, I don't know what I would do with my life. Without the internet to give me this platform, it's amazing. So I just want to thank you again, Pace, so much. This has been a really, really, really enjoyable conversation. Before we go, though, I would love if you would tell the listeners specifically where they can find out more about you and your business.
Yeah, I am at pacesmith.com. And if you like podcasts, you can find both of my podcasts at wildcrazymeaningful.com.
Wildcrazymeaningful.com. And pacesmith.com. And you are also active on Twitter, are you not?
I am. I am Pace Smith on Twitter.
Excellent. I will link to your Twitter, pacesmith.com, wildcrazymeaningful.com, and your new book, The Usual Error, on the show notes. So they are very, very easy for everyone to find. Pace, thank you again for taking the time to stop by. I really, really do truly appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it really is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here, Johnny.
My pleasure. Pace, thank you so much. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. I love how you do not hold back and you just tell it like it is. Tell it how you feel. And it was great. So you're out there listening and it was about a 25-minute conversation I had with Pace and we went through a lot of stuff. And Pace is awesome, isn't she? She totally is. You know it. But I was going through to pick out the parts of the conversation that really, really resonated with me. You probably did the same thing. You probably have this whole sheet of notes like I do beside me. But then when I go back to the very, very, very beginning, Pace really just kind of launched out of the gates. And she said this one thing. This one thing that really, 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 really stuck out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I've seen so many other entrepreneurs get stuck in the trap of coming up with really great business plans and talking it over with their mastermind groups and listening to a whole bunch of really great podcasts, but then not actually taking action. And you will learn so much more from doing something stupid or imperfect than from trying to create a really great plan that only exists in your head.
And that's the hack. Pace, pace, pace. This is that whole tell it like it is thing, isn't it? It hit home, and during when you were saying this, I was like, oh, what? I love listening to a ton of podcasts. I do have a mastermind group that I meet with once a week, and they've been super, super sort of crucial to the things that I've done in the past year. And I've never created a business plan. I'll admit that. So you got me there. But it's that whole getting it out of your head, making sure it doesn't only exist in your head, these ideas, and actually taking action. Because you are absolutely right, Pace, when you say that we have to take action. We have to do these things. You have to constantly be learning, like you were saying. All those ways are things to, like, listening to this show will hopefully, it's meant to educate you and it's meant to entertain you. I hope I'm pretty funny. And I hope that I'm teaching you something. But I hope more than anything else that you do something with it, that you take your business to the next level, that you start a side business from the job that you have that you don't like, that you do something meaningful that really, truly resonates with more people, that truly resonates with you and truly gives you that feeling of creating something and doing something that truly matters. But I can't do that for you. Pace can't do that for you. And this is the basis of everything that we do here. Everything that I try and do is not to encourage you to just listen to more episodes of my show, although you should, and you should enjoy it. And I really hope you do, of course, because every one I try and pull something out that will help you go further, that will help you push to new places. But I can't do that for you, and nobody can do that for you. And so Pace, I really appreciate you saying this. I really appreciate this being brought home like this, because it is very, very, very essential. And Pace, she'll admit to you, I mean, she has a podcast, she creates products, she reads a ton of books and listens to a ton of podcasts herself, but she also does the hard work. The hard work of sitting down at your computer, creating stuff and putting it out there into the world, creating products, creating writing if you need to, creating a podcast, whatever it is you need to do to get your voice out into the world and to get whatever it is, that thing that's inside of you that needs to come out. This has to be done, and this can only be done through education and nonstop action on your part. Pace, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, that was a lot of fun. That really, really, really was. So I am on my way right as we speak. I'm on my way traveling with my family back across the country. We were in Vancouver for the past 3 months, and now we're moving back to Ontario. That really has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that as I'm traveling, my wife drives and I'm on my phone, of course, and I go to iTunes and I look for new reviews and new ratings from you, my amazing, truly brilliant listener. And I would love to get one from you. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes will take you right there. If you're on your iPhone, it will literally open up the podcast app at the right place. You can leave me a rating and a review. I would absolutely love it. If you are also on Twitter, put your Twitter handle into your rating and review. You're at your name. And I would love to go onto Twitter and thank you personally for the rating and review. Unfortunately, iTunes doesn't let me tell who you are otherwise, and gives you no way to respond and thank you for that rating and review. So hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. It'll take you like 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes, 18 seconds. And it would mean so, so, so much to me. Plus, I'll read it. I'll read it to my wife. I'll read it to my daughter. yeah, they'll probably give me a weird look, but still, say hi to them if you would like in the rating review. All right, I've taken enough of your time. I truly, truly do appreciate you stopping by, and I hope that you come by for the next episode. And until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.